A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 344. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion about Dr. Terrible's House of Horrible. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
So here we have 6 30-minute horror parodies from the BBC in 2001, and they are satirizing old horror movies from the 1960s and so on. And these were co-written and starring Steve Coogan.
And as we mentioned last time, we've got quite a big cast to join Steve Coogan in these 6 episodes. And as you say, Brian, those classic British horror films from the mid-20th century, Hammer, Amicus, Tigon, and they're all sort of being parodied here, or shall we say affectionately having fun poked at them by Steve Coogan and the production team, the writers, the whole team.
So let's get into the other 2 episodes that we didn't discuss last time.
Yes, so we perhaps should mention that we're covering these episodes in what we think is the correct broadcast order. If you've got the DVD, you'll know that they're in a different order on the DVD for some reason, but there you go. So we think everybody seems to agree that the 5th episode was Voodoo Feet of Death. A famous ballroom dancer played by Steve Coogan loses his feet in a bizarre accident with a giant pair of scissors and is given, in a remarkable medical advance, a new pair of transplanted feet. But of course, the feet belonged to a murderer and they are set on continuing their deadly rampage.
And this, of course, spoofs The Hands of Orlok from 1960 and a number of other murderous transplant films featuring hands, eyes, brains, and so on. And, you know, we follow the haunted body part trope, which shows up here and there in this one. And we have Sarah Alexander and Tim Pigott-Smith and Tom Bell in this episode as well. So interesting cast showing up as we have in most of these.
And it is quite fun. I mean, we know from the production notes from the making of feature on the DVD that this was one of Steve Coogan's original ideas, that he wanted to do a transplanted hand film but decided it would be more fun to make it feet. And I believe they wanted a sequence of having this sort of the feet on their own crawling across the room, but they couldn't quite manage it. But certainly, you know, at night time, when he dozes off, the feet take over and they take him and walk him away to carry out terrible deeds. And you can't defeat the feet, apparently, according to one of the lines from this episode.
Yes, absolutely. The final episode is Scream, Satan, Scream, with Coogan playing Captain Tobias Slater, who roams the country exploiting his powers as a witch finder, which is fine until he encounters real witches.
Yes, I mean, this is another sort of classic riff on that Tigon witch finder general, and he's quite a naughty, salacious character, Captain Tobias Slater. And as you say, Brian, it's all well and good until he encounters a real coven of witches.
Yes, of course.
And again, we've got an impressive star cast. We've got Julie T. Wallace from The Lives and Loves of a She-Devil. Warwick Davis is in it. And Donald Pleasance's daughter, Angela Pleasance, who, if you've seen her, you'll know has got a certain sort of spooky, haunting sort of characteristic to her. And she turns up as one of the witches here, which is quite fun. And if you're a fan of Steve Coogan from his more recent works, particularly The Trip with Rob Brydon, you'll know that he is a master of voices and impersonations. And of course, he was putting on a voice for Dr. Terrible at the start and end of each episode. But for Captain Tobias Slater, he's apparently doing a Peter Sellers, one of Peter Sellers' film voices for this role. So he has a particularly distinctive way of speaking. And when you see that little note, you realize, of course, it's Peter Sellers.
Well, Peter Sellers himself was amazing with doing different voices. So it's interesting to have someone like Steve Coogan doing one of his voices.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, as you say, one master of voices impersonating another master of voices.
And having Warwick Davis in here, this isn't the first time we've had a Star Wars actor show up in something, but I think it's the first time for him.
Yes, playing a character I think is called Tygon as well. Another, as I say, reference to Vincent Price and the Witchfinder General movie in particular.
So we should talk about comedy being mixed with science fiction, fantasy, or horror. This is something that's come up for us a number of times now, with variable results. You know, you have some absolute classics with The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and with Red Dwarf, and you have some more low points with things like Kinvig and Time's Trumpet. So there is quite a variety of there. Some things have done it well. There aren't that many that have done horror with comedy. It's been touched on with Wallace and Gromit, who did it very well in their own style. And we've also covered Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, which went into horror as a parody quite heavily and is in some ways similar to Dr. Terrible's House of Horrible.
Yes, it's probably the nearest comparison we've got to this series. Yeah, something that's poking fun at the various sort of tropes and stereotypes of horror, television and film. So yeah, that's one to think about as we go along talking about this, because we have to think about, you know, does this one work? And it does rather depend, I think, that you have to have a knowledge of the British horror films which they are poking fun at. Of course, Hammer Horror, we did the Hammer Horror TV series from the 80s, but the Hammer films of the late 50s and particularly the 1960s, of course, well known for their sort of super saturated, rich colour palettes, their gothic mid-European settings, dare I say, heaving bosoms, and Kensington Gore was the sort of the name they give to all the blood that flies about aplenty. Certain familiar characteristics from those films, I think, Brian.
Yes, and we should note that the Hammer Horror films did do a lot of great work there, and while there were some of these things that can seem questionable now at times, there is a lot of great stuff there that really does still stand up.
So I guess, as I said, we'll come to this, but it is a problem possibly for a TV show, because those horror films themselves, particularly Hammer's output, were so exaggerated, so lush, so sort of rich in all the textures and details and colours, it perhaps slightly difficult to find features to over-exaggerate for a comedy, for a sort of a satire or parody of those shows. They are, of course, much loved for all those things that I've already mentioned. So, you know, it is quite tricky. I think they're treading on slightly tricky ground when they come to make this horror or comedy version of it.
Yeah, that's probably true. And with the Amicus films and their portmanteaus, with the format revealing the true nature of the horror host and that kind of thing, again, it's sort of tricky because you have these, big brash things that are already sort of exaggerated and extreme in the ways that they're put on. So sometimes, you know, pushing beyond that in parody can be tricky for them.
Yes, it is indeed. And we'll come back to get that again in a moment. But we will also note that this is an anthology horror series, which reminds me particularly of some of those classic TV horror anthologies. Of course, we've mentioned Hammer House of Horror, but also Roald Dahl's Tales of the Unexpected, which had some famously sort of chilling twists and gruesome chills along the way. A show that perhaps we might, you know, who knows, could be on the future, the docket for us, for British Invaders. And of course, at the moment, we have another sort of horror, dark humor series, which is an anthology tales, and it has a very, you know, impressive cast, and that is Inside Number 9, which probably wouldn't fit for our remit because it's ongoing as we speak, and hopefully will continue to do so because it's fantastic. But it's here we have Dr. Terrible doing an anthology horror series, a bit like those classic TV shows.
Yes, absolutely. Another anthology series that we covered was Out of the Unknown, which was more along the science fiction lines of The Twilight Zone and these sorts of things, until the last series or two, where they switched to color and switched to a more horror anthology style. And that fits in with this type of thing well as well.
Okay, so it has been done a few times on television. Well, quite a number of times, I guess, and quite successfully. Which I guess takes us to our review time. What did we think of Dr. Terrible's House of Horrible? And as ever, we start in the good column, the prose. What did you like about this series, Brian?
Okay, I like the look of this quite a bit. They constructed a different look for each episode, and I think they did a very nice job of that. And some of them, I think all of them look good, but some of them really stand out for their sort of gothic look or Victorian look, bringing out the look and feel from the things that they're thinking about and from the things that they're parodying, and also looking at things from different eras. I think pulling out that sort of look and feel for each one was something they did quite well.
Yes, absolutely. You cannot fault the production for its reconstruction of those classic horror movies. You know, I've mentioned the colour palette, these sort of rich, deep colour hues that we saw in the Hammer Horrors. And there certainly we see them in, like, for instance, Countess Karnstein's castle and the costumes. It's all very well done. So it certainly looks the part of these horror shows and horror films that they're trying to spoof. And I'd say it sounds great as well. I like the music that was composed for the series. I quite like the opening titles with the music and the sort of animated horror titles. They're quite fun as well, I thought, Brian.
Yes, we've often discussed how British studios, and in particular the BBC, is good at doing period pieces and historical dress of all sorts and historical sets and so on. And this fits into that because every one of these six is a period piece, some more recent than others, but every one is a historical era. And that was something they did very well in this.
Okay, so it looks and sounds great. We have to turn to the performances, and we start with Steve Coogan himself, you know, co-creator, writer of the episodes, plays a leading part in each one, and of course plays Dr. Terrible. And he certainly is throwing himself into this with gusto, you know, with a certain degree of, shall I say, almost required ham acting, because these are very larger-than-life, exaggerated characters that he plays throughout.
Yeah, I would say Steve Coogan was all right in this. He did play each one of those leads reasonably convincingly. I don't think he was a real standout that moved all of this forward, but I think he did all right with it. I'm not sure if the decision that he had to be the lead in every one was necessarily the right one, but it was okay.
Okay. What about the rest of the cast? Any particular favorite moments or performances along the six episodes?
I think they were mostly all right. It was not something where the performances really stood out for the most part. I did quite like the performances in Frenzy of Tongs. I liked Mark Gatiss in that. And I liked Coogan as Nathan Blaze was probably my favorite of his roles in this. So for performances, and I think altogether, I think Frenzy of Tongs was the standout episode in this series.
Okay. I mean, yes, Mark Gatiss, I mean, we're huge fans of Mark Gatiss on this podcast. And here he is having a great time and really doing a tremendous role, particularly aping those if you remember those Fu Manchu movies at the end where he would seem to have been vanquished, but it would always seem to end with him, his voice saying, "I will return." And of course, next week on the BBC, there'd probably be the next film in the series. But anyway, yes, he's great. I was particularly taken with a brief appearance by Honor Blackman, who I thought was fantastic, particularly, as you say, Brian, as we've so recently lost her. But she was lovely to see showing up, and of course, an actual star from Hammer Horror herself.
Yes, it was great to have her in this, and she did that small role. She did that very well, of course. It was a nice performance having her there.
So it looks and feels and sounds okay, pretty good. BBC doing their costumes and everything. Some clever sort of camera work with day for night shooting and so on. And also, you know, reusing some of the sets creatively, much the same way that Hammer famously did themselves. The cast, pretty good. Steve Coogan, as you say, you know, some good, perhaps not. Perhaps he shouldn't have been the lead in every episode, but it does seem to have been a Steve Coogan sort of project and vehicle for him. We have to talk about the comedy, Brian, as whether or not it is funny enough for us. As it pokes fun at all these classic horror movies. What did you think about that?
Well, I was not as big on that. And listeners may know that it's hard to convince me on comedy. But I thought the comedy was not that strong in it. And I know that Coogan and the others are big fans of this, and the idea was that they were affectionately poking fun at it, but it felt more satirical than that to me. And unfortunately, some of the comedy felt kind of mean-spirited. So I felt in some ways that the main point they were making throughout this series was that horror movies from the 50s through the 70s were racist and sexist. Well, we know this, and it's true, and it's okay to point it out, but it felt like they were putting a lot into making that the driving point in this, and that didn't do much for me.
Yeah. I mean, as ever, there weren't really enough moments in this show that made me laugh or even smile. I think a lot of it does depend on your familiarity with the source material. If you've never seen any of the films that they're sort of, you know, spoofing, then I think this will just look quite like silly nonsense to you. If at the other extreme, like myself, you're very familiar with those films and you love them dearly for their sort of exaggerated, over-the-top nature, then in a way, this series is just telling us something that we knew already, that, you know, those mid-century British horrors were to a certain extent silly, they were certainly somewhat exaggerated, and that they did contain rather unfortunate from the time period moments of casual racism and sexism. And I have to say that, you know, while we're on that subject, this series trod quite a fine line for me as to whether they were poking fun at that or whether they were unfortunately sort of repeating some of the casual racism of the Fu Manchu movies and movies about voodoo and so on. So there are moments that's slightly uncomfortable watching, you know. Maybe that's a good thing, they're trying to provoke us, but it did feel a little bit dodgy at times to me, Brian.
I think that problem is there, yeah. We recently had issues come up once again about the Doctor Who story, The Talons of Weng Chiang, in this case on BritBox. And I believe what they did was they added a warning for that about the unfortunate sort of racist content in there. And, you know, that's something that we know was there from that era. And it felt like, as you say, they were repeating some of it a bit too much. And more, what hit me more was that it felt really critical. It felt like it was sort of saying, you know, look how bad this stuff actually was. And that was too bad.
Yes. Now, you'd mentioned that if there was a favourite episode, it was possibly Frenzy of Tongs, partly for Mark Gatiss, I guess. Any other episodes you'd pick out as being particularly fun or slightly above the rest?
Scream, Satan, Scream had some moments too. That was an interesting one there as well.
Okay. I quite liked Curse of the Blood of the Lizard of Doom, just because it's that Scottish doctor set in and a slightly mad scientist who's slowly transforming into a huge lizard beast, but trying to conceal it along the way. But as ever, there's a few sort of like strange murders in dark alleyways and so on. So I quite like that one. I thought that had its moments of fun. And seeing Steve Coogan done up in the lizard suit at the end was great.
Oh, yeah, I could see why you might enjoy that.
So anything else to say about it? We've had a few problems with this series, Brian. You know, it has perhaps stretched us a little bit, partly because it just at times doesn't seem to be funny enough. It's trying hard but not landing the laughs. Anything else you wanted to note about it?
Well, as you can tell, I think I did struggle with this one. But I think we've covered this pretty well, so why don't we move on to our recommendations?
Okay. Whose turn is it to go first?
Oh, I don't know. I can start.
Okay.
So I did struggle with this, and I can't recommend it. I felt it was being a little too nasty in its humor, and I didn't find it particularly funny. So while there is some good stuff in here, the humor and the parody or satire aspects really don't work for me and bring it down. So I will not recommend this one.
Okay. A tricky one for me as well. I thought the show had its moments. I'm a deep, deep fan of the originals that it is, you know, satirizing. So to, you know, some of it seemed to miss the target, I thought. It is very cheap. You can get an episode for $1.89 or get the whole series for a fiver. So that does have that to recommend it as well. There is a film that we haven't mentioned yet, which of course is Carry On Screaming, which is the famous parody of the Hammer Horrors from the Carry On line of films. And I did put the question out on Facebook earlier today that perhaps Carry On Screaming did this better than Dr. Terrible's House of Horrible. Although, as I say that, I have been listening to the Hammer House of Podcast with Paul Cornell and Elizabeth Miles, Brian. And they recently covered Carry On Screaming. And I think Paul Cornell found it not quite as good as he'd remembered it from his childhood. And perhaps I need to have another look at it myself, because I haven't seen it since I was very young as well. So anyway, my recommendation is a cautious sort of maybe. I would put it slightly below Garth Marenghi, but above Kinvig and Time Trumpet. But it is very cheap over here in the UK. So if you're intrigued and you do decide to watch it, please let us know what you think and whether or not you would recommend it to the rest of our listeners as well.
Very good. So, in summary, Dr. Terrible's House of Horrible introduced us to Dr. Terrible, who sat fireside and would introduce a different horror episode each week and then give a concluding remark on it afterwards. And we got 6 different horror period pieces, ranging from the 1970s all the way back to the 1600s. And gave us a variety of parodies of classic British horror movies from the 1960s or so.
Great stuff. And of course, please do come back next time. We're also dealing with history, but we're dealing with an interesting subgenre of fantastical television, the alternate history type of show, and we're looking at, from the BBC in 1978, a show called An Englishman's Castle. And I'm intrigued about this one, Brian. I don't know anything much more about it than we've already said, but yeah, I'm looking forward to this one.
Yes, this will definitely be an interesting one to cover next time, for sure. Until then, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com. All of our past episodes, horrors and otherwise, are there. Or you can join us on Facebook. If you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our group there. And we will have some things to say about horror anthologies and Dr. Terrible's House of Horrible there in our discussions as well, I'm sure. And you can also find some information about our upcoming episodes and what we'll be covering then.
Yes, we usually post what we'll be covering in the next 3 months or so, so you can find out, and if you want to watch along with us, get involved. And we can also be found on the Voice of Geeks Network, where you'll find several other interesting shows. Check us out at vognetwork.com, vognetwork.com, for the Voice of Geeks.
Yes, indeed. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. This is Dr. Terrible saying that was truly diabolical.